Okay, page 1020, Rampasik Gimel.
Yeah, that's
fourth line down. Okay, last time we started learning, after the laws of the firstborn, the Pasik says, you have to keep the month of the spring. We learned last week, that's the whole source of the concept of a leap year in Torah law, where you add another month, because it has to be in the spring. And the only way Pesach will always be in the spring is if you always have the leap year. And we said there's a 19-year cycle, 7 leap years, 12 regular years, and that's the way the Jewish calendar is set up. Okay, and then it says, Hashem took us out in the spring, and then it says you have to bring the Korban Pesach. Okay, so fourth line, third Pasuk. The Pasuk says like this, Leisechol olav chametz, you're not allowed to eat chametz while you have the Korban Pesach. Shivas yamim techol olav matzah lachameini. You need to eat matzah for 7 days. Now what does it mean when the Torah says you should not eat chametz together with the Korban Pesach? So some opinions in the Gemara learn from here that you need to stop eating chametz biblically out of Pesach at 1 o'clock, at midday. Because that is the time for bringing the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb. And if that's the time to bring the Korban Pesach, then you have to stop eating chametz at the time you bring the Korban Pesach. Okay? And we said that even though the punishment of kares, because if somebody eats chametz on Pesach, the punishment is that God makes you die younger, so to speak. But that's only starting at night. Because then the Torah says, if you eat chametz in the 7 days, then you get what's called kares. But out of Pesach, after midday, it's biblically forbidden, but it's not kares, it's only lashes. That's all you get, because it's a negative commandment. So it says like this, you cannot eat chametz with the Korban Pesach. Why? Because chametz represents ego, haughtiness, evil. In fact, the Gemara calls the Yetzer Hara, the Se'er Shebi'isa, the yeast of the dough, which causes it to rise, that's how the Gemara calls the Yetzer Hara, the chametz, the yeast of the dome. So therefore, that contradicts the whole concept of the Korban Pesach, of the Yom Tov of Pesach. And then it says like this, Shivas Yomim Teichol Olav Matzis Lechem Eini. You need to eat the bread of affliction for 7 days. That's what the Pasuk says, Shivas Yomim Teichol Olav Matzis Lechem Eini. Now, what does Eini mean?
Yeah.
Huh? Eini comes from the word ani, poor. That's poor, the simple poor meaning. In fact, even though it's pronounced Eini, but if you look, it's spelled Ayin Nun Yud, which is ani, right? So it's poor man's bread. Why? Because a poor man, there's nothing in it. There's flour and water. It doesn't even have a chance to rise. You know, like the rich people have time. You know, there's no time. So Lechem Eini simply means poor man's bread. In a deeper sense, the Gemara learns out what is the word Eini in addition to poor. Close the door, please. What does it mean in addition to poor? Eini means you answer, you speak. Lechem Eini refers to the matzah that you speak over. What does this mean? If you ever notice by the Seder, when you recite the Haggadah, the matzahs are uncovered. Why do you uncover, unless when you're dealing with the wine, because it's competition, wine and the matzah. But when you're not dealing with the wine, the matzah is uncovered. So the Gemara says, why? What's the reason? Because the Torah says, lechem oni, oni means oneh, to answer. Okay? The kid asks the questions, the father is supposed to answer. That's what the Torah says. Ki yishalcha bincha, he'll ask the questions, then you answer him. So because there's a lot of talking going on during the Seder, which is lechem oini, the bread of affliction, and also the bread that you talk over, so therefore you uncover the matzahs at the time you recite the Haggadah, because that's what the Torah says, lechem oini.
This is the against of the onus, you know, because the night of Passover, you're like a king, you know? We do it like a king,
well,
we do it like a king. Why can't we do the
Pesach night is a paradox. Pesach night, you have things that show freedom,
so,
you recline, you eat the wine, the four cups of wine, and other things apply to the affliction. So we're reminding ourselves the affliction that we had and the freedom we have. That's
mixed together.
Yeah, yes. Both together. Yeah, so you have lechem oini, which is the bread of affliction, poor man's bread. And he says why? Ki bechipozein, says something like this. Why did you eat the matzah lechem oini? Ki bechipozein yatzasa me'eretz Mitzrayim, because you ran out of Egypt in haste. So like the pasuk itself says, they couldn't eat matzahs. And we say this in that Gada. Matzah zushano eichlam ashuma, shle hispik betzekes shel aviseinu lahachmitz. The Jews were in such a big rush to get out of Egypt that the dough didn't have a chance to rise. Right? Which we'll soon see the symbolic concept of that. So therefore, what did they eat? Matzah. That's one interpretation, by the way. Another interpretation, by the way, it's interesting. Some commentaries say that I don't know how many of you know, during South African's apartheid, when there was slavery in South Africa, there was a porridge that all the slaves ate. It was cheap and very filling. That's what they used to feed. I was there in South Africa when this was going on. They used to give the slaves this porridge because it would be very cheap and very filling. So it was the slave food, so to speak. Many commentaries say in Egypt, slaves ate matzah. It's cheap, flour and water. Not today, shmura matzah. Not talking about that. That's really expensive. But it would be cheap and filling. So some mefarshim say that in Egypt, the Jews were eating matzah anyway. Before the commandment of eating matzah, just practically for 210 years, it says the Jews were eating matzah in Egypt. And therefore, it needs to go out. Now, what does it mean? Like this. You ran out of Egypt in haste. And therefore, the Torah says, and we'll get back to this in a second, in order that you should remember the day of going out of Egypt, all the days of your life. Okay? Now, what does it mean? You will remember the days of going out of Egypt by eating matzah. That's the connection in the pasuk. The Torah says you can't eat chametz, you have to eat matzah, and by eating matzah, not eating chametz, you're going to remember that you went out of Egypt. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Now, why does the pasuk say, ki bechipozing yatzasim eretz Mitzrayim? Why did the Jews go out of Egypt in a rush? What was the reason that the Jews left Egypt in a rush? Okay, Pari was getting killed. I mean, just take the story simply. There was the firstborn started getting killed, dying, and Pari was the firstborn, and he didn't want to die, so he just threw the Jews out of Egypt. But there seems to be an emphasis over here. Keep pausing. Take your tzos and merits and time that you went out with haste out of Egypt.
Because of their soul being disconnected from Hashem?
No, it's really the opposite. In other words,
if they wouldn't have rushed.
Well, the Medrash says that the Jews were in the 49th level of impurity in Egypt. They sunk to the lowest possible level of impurity. And the Medrash says that if God didn't take the Jews out of Egypt exactly when he did, they would have sunken into the 50th level of impurity, and then we would have been stuck in Egypt for the rest of our lives. But that's not this concept necessarily of chipozen. We said many times, when a person, we mentioned this last week also and briefly, but we didn't get into the possibility. When a person is addicted to something, and they want to stop the addiction, they need to be an extremist. You can't even be around it. Let's say you smoke and you want to give up smoking, yeah? You can't go to a smoke shop, or you can't go to a room where people are smoking if you want to break the habit. Okay, a person that's not addicted can hang around the room and nothing's going to happen to him. But a person who's addicted to something and they want to break the habit, they really need to be an extremist. Because the Jews were so involved in evil in Egypt, when it came to the time to go, They had to like run away from it. Because they couldn't be connected to it anymore. Because the Jews, why was this? Because it was before Matan Torah, before the Torah was given. And before the Torah was given, like we learned many times, the relationship between the Jew and God was based on behavior. When God gave us the Torah, we became His children, God chose us. It's not behavior anymore. But before Matan Torah, the whole relationship between God and the Jew was based on behavior. So because the Jews were connected for 210 years to evil, they needed to get out in a way of an extremist. They had to run out of Egypt. On the other hand, when Mashiach comes, the Pasuk says, "Tileba menusa teleichun, lebechipazin." It's not going to be rushed. Every Jew is going to go out slowly, you know, in the traffic jams, there's going to be a lot of traffic on the roads to Israel. When Mashiach, everybody's going to be going to Israel, the roads are going to be a lot of traffic jams. So you're going to go slowly, it's not a problem, because then it will be such a great revelation of Kedusha when Mashiach comes. Evil will become non-existent, and therefore we're not afraid that we have to rush out of it, because we're not connected to it. As soon as Mashiach comes, we're disconnected from evil. And therefore, evil won't exist, that we have to run out of Egypt. Okay, so this is simply what the Pasuk says. Because you ran out of Egypt, therefore you ate the matzah. Because simply, I'm taking this now the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Because you were rushed out of Egypt, the dough didn't have a chance to rise, so therefore you ate matzah. Therefore Hashem says, by eating matzah and Pesach, you're going to remember the exodus of Egypt. But this, what? What?
I missed the first part, you mentioned it. What's the significance of Yetziat Mitzrayim that we always...
I can only say one thing at a time. Savlonut.
The main part.
Okay. What is this so important? Kol Yimei Chayecha. By the way, this pasuk is mentioned in the Haggadah, because there's an argument between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim. Do you mention the exodus of Egypt at night or not? Right? Because the Jews left Egypt, Yom Tzeischa Meretz Mitzrayim, said you should remember the day you left Egypt. Day means day, not night. When the Torah says Yom, that by sacrifice, the Torah says you have to bring it on the day, you can't bring a sacrifice at night. So the Chachamim in the Haggadah, the Chachamim say, you don't mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you do say Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, and he couldn't prove his point. Ashadrasha ben Zayma, until ben Zayma came, what do we say in that God, right? And he quoted this pasuk. Lamantis, because him says, Mitzrayim, kol yimei chayecha. So yimei chayecha means the days. But it adds, kol yimei chayecha, inclusive all the days, including the nights. Okay? The chachamim in the Haggadah, right? The Pesach wasn't that long ago. Kol yimei chayecha, neither was Rosh Hashanah, by the way. Kol yimei chayecha, the chachamim say like this. Yemei Chayecha means now. Kol Yemei Chayecha, even when Mashiach comes, we're going to also talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the argument between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. In other words, Yemei Chayecha means days, Kol is inclusive. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Ben Zayma say Kol includes even the nights. And Chacham say, no, it doesn't include the nights. What does it include? That even when Mashiach comes, we're also going to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, even when Mashiach comes. Now, by the way, this just in a practical, so I just explained the argument from a halachic point of view. The mitzvah of tzitzis really doesn't apply at night. Because the Torah says by tzitzis, or the isem are you say. You have to see it. And the Gemara says night, you don't see. I mean, now we have lights. But night is basically what the Torah says you should see it. So the Torah says, you should see the tzitzis only during the day you're obligated in tzitzis. At night, you're not obligated in the midst of tzitzis. Okay? Well, the whole question is the day garment, or is it night? Is it a day garment versus a night garment? There's a whole argument in the Rishonim. Some say, Rishonim say, one early codifier say, day yes, night not, period. Some opinions, and even in Halacha, they rule like that. Many opinions, that and what the Torah excludes is a night garment. In other words, a night garment, even if you wear it during the day, doesn't need tzitzis. But a day garment does need tzitzis, even at night. I don't want to get into the whole thing, but you know, you know there's something called a blanket? You know what a blanket is? A blanket. Talmud in Farsi, no?
Blanket, the same.
It's an argument what it says is Farsi, you know? Make up your mind. Okay. Do you know that halachically you're wearing the blanket? You can't have a blanket made out of shatnez. You can't have woolen linen blankets because you're wearing it. It keeps you warm. Right? Now, do you know a blanket has four corners?
Yeah.
Why don't you put tzitzis on a blanket? You cheated. Why don't you put tzitzis on a blanket? Think about it. It's a blanket, four corners, and you wear it. Why don't you need tzitzis on it? Especially in the old time you have wool blankets, which is, according to all opinions, obligated in the midst of tzitzis.
It covers you. It doesn't...
I'm asking you, are you allowed to wear a blanket of shatnez? No, because you're wearing it.
Come in touch with
it. That's called wearing. You're wearing your jacket. Okay, whatever. I'm not getting into the laws of tzitzis. So the question is, at Shema in the evenings, we say the three parashas of Shema. Shema, Vahavta, and Vayim Shemaya, and the parasha of tzitzis. Now, why do we say the parasha of tzitzis at night, at Ma'ariv, and before bed, those that say it, if night is not the time of tzitzis? It's only because of the last pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hoceisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. That's the argument between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim. Do you say the third parasha of Shema at night? Because the tzitzis you shouldn't. There's no reason, because tzitzis you don't have to do it. According to the Chachamim, you don't do it at night because Yetzias Mitzrayim is only the obligation Yimei Chayecha, not at night. So the Chachamim hold, this is the practical argument between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold, you don't say the parasha of tzitzis at night. Not tzitzis needs at night, and not the Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, no, you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim b'leilis, meaning at Ma'ariv, and those that say by Kirishma Lamita, say the parasha of tzitzis, not because of tzitzis, but because of the mitzvah of an Yetzias Mitzrayim. By the way, you know, it's a very interesting thing. According to many opinions, for women, the third paragraph of Shema is more important than the first two. Because women are obligated in any mitzvah not connected to time, correct? The mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim is day and night, is constant. So that women have an obligation to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. Shema, the mitzvah of Shema, because it's morning and evening, it's connected to time. So according to many opinions, women don't have to say the Shema. It says in halacha women should, because it's accepting God, you know. But the obligation of the mitzvah of Shema, you know, in the proper time before nine, whatever time it is, yeah, women don't have that mitzvah. Because it's Shema, is connected to time. But the poskim write, the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's a positive mitzvah not connected to time, that women are obligated to do. So according to certain opinions, according to basically all opinions, the third paragraph of Shema for women, believe it or not, is more important than the first two. In that respect of the mitzvah. Okay. So therefore, this is what it says, L'mantiska, same seyeskum, yasum, koyim, echayach. Okay, now come to your question. Why is this Yetzias Mitzrayim every day of our life? I mean, it's like the whole Torah. I took you out of Egypt. Enough of going out of Egypt. We're out of Egypt already. Goodbye. Now what's this mitzvah of talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because this is one of the most fundamental aspects in Judaism. It's Kantik Yetzias Mitzrayim. There is a physical going out of Egypt, going out of the country called Egypt, you know, Sinai, Eretz Yisrael. But there is the spiritual. In fact, and even in Agada, we say, B'chol dar v'dar, chayiv adam, l'ira yisis atzmei, Kilu Yotzim in Mitzrayim, as if they went out of Egypt. In Tanya, the Alter Rebbe even adds even more, really based on this pasuk. B'chol dar v'dar uv'chol yoyim v'yoyim. Not only every generation, every day of our life, a Jew has to pretend and picture himself as if they went out of Egypt. The word Mitzrayim in Hebrew means Egypt, but the word Mitzrayim in Hebrew comes from the word Meitzar, Meitzarim, boundaries, limitations. Meitzar, or is really, the root of the word Mitzrayim is really tzar, narrow. Meitzar is boundaries, which is a limitation. In Hebrew, the boundaries, it's my Meitzar, you know, the boundaries. Mitzrayim represents the boundaries and limitations of a Jew. Of any person, let's speak about Jews. Boundaries and limitation of a Jew. It could be boundaries of holiness, of greatness, but it's still boundaries. The mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the practical level every day is a Jew breaking their limitations of their nature. The nature of a Jew, I mean the limitations of a Jew, is basically our boundaries. Our boundaries is the limitation of the Jew. When a person breaks their limitations, that is going out of Egypt. When a person stays within their natural limitations, that's called being in Egypt. Mitzrayim is Meitzar. What does this mean in a practical level? And Tanya, the Alter Rebbe, speaks about this in Perek Tevav, but really it's a Gemara in Chagiga. There's a pasuk that says, "Ushaftem uri'isem," you should sit and see, "Bein tzadik l'rasha." This is what the pasuk says. "Ushaftem uri'isem bein tzadik l'rasha," you should sit and see the difference between a tzadik and a rasha. "Bein eved alekim la'asher lo yavodei," between one that serves God and one that doesn't. That's what the pasuk says. So the Tal Gemara in Chagiga says, simply, tzaddik in Russia is one that serves God and one that doesn't. Right? That's, if you learn the pasuk, just very simple. But the Gemara says it can't mean that. Because why is the pasuk repeating itself? Every word in Torah is exact. It's not in Chumash, but it's in Nach, in Nevi'im. So if a tzaddik is obviously one that serves God and Russia doesn't, so why is it say Eved Alekim between one that serves God and one that doesn't serve God? So Gemara says it can't mean good and bad. So the Gemara in Chagiga says, what does it mean? The Gemara says like this, who is one that doesn't serve God? Mi shashenei pirkei mea pa'amim. One that reviews the learning 100 times. He is called not serving God. Who is the Eved Alekim? Who is the one that serves God? The Gemara says, one that learns it 101 times. That means, if you learn your studies 100 times, you're called not serving God. You learn it 100, doesn't say you're watching movies 100 times. You're learning. But because you did it only 100 times, you're called not serving God. You do it one more time. Mea pa'am ve'echas, the Gemara says, then you call, this is what the pasuk means, Eved Alekim, then you're serving God. What's the difference? In Chayda, it's 100th more. What's the big deal? So the Gemara, interestingly, gives an analogy, what we would call today overtime. The Gemara says, if you rent a donkey for one zuz, for a parsa, so a little bit over the parsa, over the, you have to pay two. I only want a tenth more. It's what's called basically overtime. Why do you pay time and a half or whatever it is for overtime? Because it's going beyond the person's nature. And this is what the Gemara says. So the explanation is very simple. Because the Gemara, the Talmud wasn't written yet, it was all oral, everybody's nature in those days, everybody reviewed the learning 100 times. That was the nature of people. So when you served God by learning it 100 times, because you served God only with your nature, that is called Egypt, that's called limitations and boundaries, and that is called not serving God. In other words, you're learning 100 times, what could be better than that? But because you are doing it within your natural limitations, your natural nature, that is called not serving God. Once you break your nature, it's the hardest thing everybody knows, to break your nature. You know, I said this many times. You teach a class from 9 to 12. You can handle it. 12 o'clock, the bell rings. From 12 to 12:01, try to control the class. The question, they just sat for 3 hours. Yeah? One more minute, big deal. Because they're not accustomed to it. That's it. Now you're asking me to change my nature, it doesn't work. So what is the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Yetzias Mitzrayim means we need to break our nature, to go a little bit above and beyond. Which, by the way, if you stop to think for a minute, there's an unbelievable concept over here. You can have a guy that learns 15 minutes a day, and he's called serving God. And you can have somebody that learns 10 hours a day, and he's called not serving God. Because if his nature is to learn 10 hours a day, and he learns 10 hours a day, he's only doing his nature. So he's called not serving God, the Gemara says. But a guy that learns only 10 minutes a day, and now he breaks his nature and learns 15 minutes a day, that person is called Eved Elikim, that person is called serving God. So what's the mitzvah of a Jew going out of Egypt every day? The mitzvah of going out of Egypt every day in a very practical, that the Haggadah said, b'chol dor v'dor, or as a lot of Sfarim say, b'chol yayim, constantly, kol yamei chayacha, not only once a year, kol all the days of your life, you have to think, remember, what do you mean remembering? Remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, what remembering is, what's the big deal? It doesn't mean to remember it, it means to live it. To live the going out of Egypt all the days of your life. And this is why it's such a fundamental aspect in Yiddishkeit. Because the whole concept of Yiddishkeit is to reach God. Now, why is this so important? Very simply. Very simply. God is infinite. We are limited. Limited cannot reach the infinite. But there's only one way the finite could reach the infinite. When you break your nature, relatively speaking, you reach the infinite. Finite is what your nature is. When you break your nature, relatively speaking, you reach the infinite. And then you reach God. Because you broke your nature, you did infinite relative to your level, and therefore, then you're connected to Hashem. Okay, that's number one. Another aspect over here is like this. Many times, people study, you know, and they know intellectually, they got it. Yeah? But it doesn't get to the heart. You know, it's not enough to intellectually, you have to feel it. Yeah, you have to live it, you have to feel it. Intellectually, you can make a big speech about Shabbos and kosher and everything under the sun, but it doesn't talk to me. Like people say, it doesn't talk to me. L'cheira, if you stop to think for a minute, God created the way, by human nature, intellect stimulates feelings. Seichel is meilid midas. Therefore, intellect is called the father and the mother, and the midas are called the children, because intellect stimulates. When you meditate into something, how great it is, it creates a love. If you meditate into something, how powerful it is, it creates a fear. Right? Therefore, the mitzvah is, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, to meditate into the greatness of Hashem. And then the mitzvah is, v'yahavtas Hashem alakach, you will love God. But let me just back up a second. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to love God, right? V'yahavtas Hashem alakach. The mitzvah to love God. So there's the famous question of the Maggid of Mizrich. And he asks, how can you command somebody on a feeling? I can't command you to love broccoli if you don't. And I can't command you to hate ice cream if you don't. I can tell you, eat broccoli even though you hate it. I can tell you an action. I could say speak nicely even though you don't want to. But how can I command you in a feeling of the heart to love God? I don't like him. What do you want me to do? He wasn't nice to me. I'm angry at him. I don't love him. What do you want me to press? There's a button you press to love, a love button. There's no such thing. How can, the Maggid is a very practical question. How could there be a mitzvah in the Torah of loving God and loving another Jew and fearing God and all the mitzvahs of feelings? How can you command somebody to feel? If I don't love, I don't love. What do you want me to do? So the Maggid explains, based on what we just said. The Maggid says, the mitzvah is not to love. The mitzvah is to do those things that bring you to love. Because meditation creates feelings, so the Maggid says like this, the mitzvah is, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, meditate into the greatness of God. And then he says, V'yahavta in Hebrew, doesn't only mean you should love, V'yahavta means you will love God. Mm-hmm. So by meditating into the greatness of God, V'yahavta, you will love God. So what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is not the emotion, because then you can't command feeling. Right? I can eat a food, but it doesn't mean you can't command me to like it. Because hey, I don't like it, what do you want me to do? So the question is, why is it sometimes we find a person meditates into the greatness of God, and the heart doesn't get inspired? So the answer is, so this explains, between the head and the heart, there's something called the Meitzar HaGodin, the narrowness of the neck. In Chazal is called Meitzar HaGodin, the narrowness of the Godin is the throat, the neck. What does this mean? There's a Mitzrayim, Meitzar, the narrowness between the head and the heart. In fact, that's why it says, who is the power in Egypt? Paray. Paray, Pei, Reish, Ayin, Hei, is the same letters as Ha'oref, the back of the neck. Paray and Mitzrayim represent the blockage between the intellect and the feelings. And therefore, what's the mitzvah? To remember every day the going out of Egypt. Meaning, number one, we need to break our nature. Number two, what we need to do is not allow the blockage that doesn't allow the head to come into the heart. That's all the level of Mitzrayim. So this explains why this concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim is emphasized throughout Torah, because that is what the life of a Jew is about, to constantly break your nature. And this is, by the way, in the life of a human being. You know, you have a 5-year-old. A 5-year-old acts a certain way. But if a 10-year-old will act the same way as a 5-year-old, or the way he was when he was 5, something's wrong. Because a 10-year-old is supposed to be more mature than a 5-year-old. And a 20-year-old is supposed to be more mature than a 15-year-old or a 19-year-old, right? Now, if every day of our lives we are a day older, whether we like it or not, guys, every day we're older. But together with age is supposed to come maturity and growth, right? So if a person is a day older and doesn't grow that day, I don't want to use the word, God forbid, retarded, but they're going backwards. Because if I'm 20, and now I'm 20 in a day, I'm supposed to be better than I was when I was 20, because now I'm 20 in a day. And if, you know, if a third grader acts like a second grader, something's wrong. You're supposed to be more mature. So that's why it's a fundamental aspect in life that a person constantly needs to grow, and that's the concept of going out of Mitzrayim. Okay? That answered your question?
It's pretty good.
Thank you. You know why it's pretty good? It's not mine. Okay. Pasuk Dalet. V'lo yira'e l'cha sa'er b'chol gvulcha. You should not eat, should not be seen even. Okay, no leaven means that sa'er is bread, but this is really the things that make chametz. You cannot see b'chol gvulcha shivas yamim in all your boundaries for 7 days. Meaning, not only is it forbidden to eat chametz for 7 days, it's forbidden to own chametz. But the Torah says, lo yora'el l'cha. And the Gemara learns a very interesting thing. You're only not allowed to see your chametz that belongs to you. For instance, you're allowed to go on Pesach to the supermarket, even though there's chametz all over the place, and the Torah says, don't see chametz. But the Torah doesn't say, don't see chametz. The Torah doesn't say, lo yora'el sa'ar. Then we'd have to walk around with blinders. The Torah says, le yora'el l'cha, sa'ar, meaning, you're not allowed to see chametz that belongs to you. Why is chametz so strict? You know, the Torah says you can't eat pig. But the Torah says, doesn't say you can't own pig. The Gemara says, if you raise pigs, you're cursed, the Gemara says. But there's no forbidden, there's no mitzvah in the Torah that you can't own pig or see pig, that you don't. And then also we have, before Pesach, you have bedikas chametz, right? You don't have bedikas pig. There's no bedikas chazer to check the house and make sure there's no treif there. Okay? So the simple halachic answer, Taisus explains at the beginning of Pesachim. Taisus said, why is there a mitzvah bacon as a chametz only? So Taisus is very simple. Chametz you eat a whole year. You eat chametz a whole year, so you're used to it. Treif, you don't eat a whole year, so we're not afraid you're going to come and eat it, because a whole year you don't eat it. But chametz, the whole year, you're 51 weeks of the year, you're eating it, now there comes the second, so the Chacham said, you know what? Get rid of the chametz, because otherwise you might come, God forbid, to eat it. But a deeper reason is brought down in Svarim, why is chametz forbidden to be seen or to be owned? Because again, chametz represents all evil. Like we said before, the Gemara calls the Yetzirah Se'er Shebi'is. The Gemara says, Mi Ma'akev? Who stops a person from wanting to be close to God? The Gemara says, Se'er Shebi'is, the yeast of the dough, meaning the Yetzirah. Chametz represents total evil. And therefore, in Pesach, the Torah says, which commemorates the going out of Egypt, the Torah says, not only is it forbidden to eat chametz, you can't own chametz in a way that you see it or own it, because the Torah says chametz represents the essence of evil. Why? Why does a person not keep mitzvahs? Okay? God says, don't eat the pig. I want to eat the pig. That's all ego. Self-centered. Because if God says don't, and I say I want to eat it, and instead of listening to God, I'm listening to myself, that's the essence of all evil. What's the essence? Why does the person sin? God tells you don't do it. Why are you doing it? Because I want to do it. God told you not to. So God said, but I want to do it anyway. That's ego. So chametz represents the entire evil that exists in the world is the concept of chametz. And therefore, when we celebrate the Yom Tov of Pesach, which commemorates the going out of Egypt, the Torah says, at that time of the year, any ego, any haughtiness, any self-centered, which is all the same word, by the way, it contradicts the entire essence of going out of boundaries and limitations, going out of evil. Because I need to explain one more thing, while we're on the topic, so to speak. The word evil is a relative word. Evil is not what the dictionary defines. I don't know even what the Webster dictionary defines. They are definitely evil. Because it's hard to say what the word evil means. But relatively speaking, we have said this many times, good compared to better is evil. You're not, like we said to you 100 times?
301.
You called not serving God. Why are you not serving God? It's not bad. It's not evil what you're doing. But relative to what you should be doing, breaking your nature, that's also evil. So you have very fine, you have very fine level of chametz, which explains another halacha about chametz. Treif and kol shemitah milk become nullified 1 in 60. Right? A little bit of milk falls into 60 times the amount, it's kosher. Chametz on Pesach, the Gemara says, Isurei b'mashehu. You have a drop of chametz, mamish a drop, falling into 100 gallons of matzah ball soup. Pesach, matzah ball soup. Yeah? The whole thing is chametz stick. One drop, 100, 1,000, it doesn't matter. Mashu means the smallest amount, and no matter how much it is, it's never nullified. The question, why? The Gemara says 1 in 60 doesn't taste it anymore. Why is milk, meat and milk nullified 1 in 60? Treif and kosher nullified 1 in 60? The Gemara says a reason. Because you don't taste it. It's so nullified you don't taste it. Right? You don't taste the chametz. It's a mamish a crumb of bread. Falls into 100 gallons of soup. You don't taste the bread. There's nothing there. But on Pesach, any amount of evil, the slightest amount of evil, is very dangerous. To the extent the Torah says you can't, not only you can't eat it, you can't see it, you can't own it, you can't, nothing. I mean, you can't see what belongs to you. What?
Question.
1 second. What?
Concept of chametz is so important, it sounds like it is, then why do we eat it all year? If you think about, let's say, not having, let's say, eating treif and how it blocks the heart, right? So that's all year. So why is it that?
Very good question. Mm-hmm. What's the answer?
By having matzah and not having chametz, but that amount of time, it does... has a supernatural effect that it...
Because the chametz, in its entirety of evil, is affecting the person only in the time of the actual exodus. In other words, we relive Pesach every year. So every year we're going out of Mitzrayim. So every year we're running away from Mitzrayim. In that respect, that's where chametz gets into. But what's interesting, Pesach Sheni, the month later, if you know, a person was tummy, couldn't mingle kum, they had a second chance. Over there, they had chametz in the house. Chametz imei babayis, the Gemara says, based on the pasuk. You can have chametz in the house. Because once you're on that level, chametz can affect you.
By going through the time that you're supposed to have it.
By having Pesach and the strictness of chametz during the week of Pesach, it lasts for the whole year to such an extent that even when you're dealing with chametz, it doesn't affect you. That's why, Bechlal, I was going to wait until later when it speaks about the rest of the chagim. But you know, many people, I don't know if this, you say chasal siddur Pesach? Yeah. In Agod? Okay. At the end of the Seder, there's a paragraph, a song, that says chasal siddur Pesach, which means the Pesach Seder is over. And I hope we did it right and all things. In Chabad, we don't say it. We don't say that at the end of the Seder. And the Alter Rebbe said, why not? And he says, because Pesach never ends. Chasal Siddur Pesach literally means the Seder is over, and we're asking Hashem that we have done it correctly, and the Alter Rebbe said, Pesach never ends. You bring Pesach for the whole year. Shavuos is not that one day, and I just saw 2 days. Every day is nice and hatayr is every day. Sukkot, kibbutz, sukkot, every day. So, when you bring Pesach into the rest of the year, even chametz can't affect you. But in order to have that power, on Pesach you can't have any chametz. Because that gives us the power that even during the year when you do deal with chametz, it can't affect you.
This 7 days is a period that you make you to this abyss or something? because 7 days.
You make you what?
7 days. They say 7 days you have to keep the
matzah.
No chametz.
No
chametz.
No.
This 7 days is some period they make you clear or make you.
Yeah, it's the 7 days of Pesach. Yeah. It purifies to such an extent that the rest of the year chametz doesn't get in the way. Yeah. What did you want?
Same question.
As hers?
I would say it differently, but it's the same question.
Okay. Okay, we continued.